And he's dealing with Glenn, who doesn't know shit about basketball.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. Day one is done. Two games done from NBA opening night. We're going to recap all the action there and we're going to preview an 11-game Wednesday. A full, real opening night for the NBA. Michael Bolton, he's so keen for this.
Let's get to it.
What a great idea. Let's get stuck straight into talking about the NBA and the action from Tuesday night. We will start, as we do, as always, on these parts of the show, with the monstrous line of the night.
Monstrous line of the night.
Yes, it of course goes to Steph Curry. I don't know how many times I've said that over the last 5 years. Steph was ridiculous. 32 points with 8 rebounds, 9 assists and a steal. He hit 5 triples. He was 11 of 20 from the field and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Steph continues to be excellent. You know, one of the top 3 or 4 fantasy guys majority of the time. You could get him at 8 or 9 in leagues this year. I thought he was a pretty clear part of the top 8, probably the top 7 in my opinion, and a great start to the season for Steph. That efficiency is so good. He chipped in with rebounds. He got assists. He does what he does scoring-wise. He is the best player, in my opinion, on this Golden State Warriors team, and he showed it again in today's game. Another absolutely fantastic performance from Curry. I wasn't expecting him to play 37 minutes and Durant to go for 38 minutes in a game that was probably closer than anticipated. The Thunder did cover the spread, losing only by 8 points, but another great performance from Curry. And when he is on the bench, this team really does struggle. And I think an injury to Curry is really the only way that the Warriors are going to lose this NBA championship for this coming season. Who knows? He could get injured. We've seen it happen in the last couple of playoffs. But another masterful performance from Steph to kick off this NBA season. Now, I do have a new sponsor for today's show, guys, and that is Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed that you are, I guess, that everyone is always looking for. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. Of course, I used to be a pharmacist, so you'll know all about, many of you may not know that I did used to be a pharmacist. These ingredients in these products by Blue Chew, they work fantastically well, and they're going to give you, most of the time, really, really fantastic results. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Normally, when you're taking a tablet and letting it dissolve in your stomach, it's like a 30-minute wait time. We're not talking about that. We can be going a lot faster with a chewable tablet. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy. Who wants to talk to a pharmacist? And best of all, no more awkward. They're made in the USA and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, which of course is Locked On. You just pay the $5 shipping. Really, no cost to you, $5, and that's it. Go ahead, Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On, and you get to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. Let's go on to the waiver wire line of the night.
Waiver wire line of the night.
Marcus Morris of the Boston Celtics. I've been pretty down on Morris as a player. And I feel like, and this is completely anecdotal, I feel like every opening night of the season, Marcus Morris puts up a good night. And he did it today. Only 21 minutes. He had a double-double, 16 and 10. He hit 2 threes. He had 2 steals. He was 58% from the field on 12 attempts, but there are a couple of things to pay attention to here. A, he's not going to be getting 12 shots per game coming off the bench. He played 21 minutes, but this was a game in which Jaylen Brown saw only 28 minutes of action. Gordon Hayward was under 25 minutes. Jason Tatum only 29. And while the Celtics are very deep and they can limit their playing time, Hayward's not going to be stuck at 25 minutes per night. And the guy that is going to lose that playing time is going to be Morris, down to 16 or 17. He shot really efficiently. This is a guy who's normally a 43% shooter, 44, 45, definitely not a 58% guy, and that's going to take a lot of his value down. So 14-team leagues, maybe probably more 16-team leagues, that's fine for Marcus. But I'm not looking at this performance and going, I have to go and grab him and get him onto my roster, because this is something that is fool's gold, in my opinion. It's not going to happen all that often throughout the season, and I think you can find better options than Marcus Morris on the waiver wire. But he was the waiver wire line of the night, which is a guy who's owned in under 50% of Yahoo leagues, who puts up the best performance of the day. And for me, that was Marcus Morris today. So a huge performance from him, but I already got the question, should we go and add Marcus Morris? The answer in standard leagues, 10 and 12 team leagues, is generally going to be no. There's very, very little upside with Morris. Again, go back to what he did that season with Detroit when he was playing 34 minutes a night, and I don't think he could even crack the top 120 in that time, and there's no reason for me to think that anything is going to be different for Morris this season. He's not going to become super efficient or putting up big assist numbers or putting up big defensive numbers. It was a great night for him. They happen occasionally, but I don't think that it's going to be something that is that continues on for Marcus as we move forward. Now, a new award that I am introducing this season is the Deep League Player of the Night. It's a player who's owned in under 5% of leagues on Yahoo. And we had a couple of candidates for it tonight, but today I'm giving it to Kevon Looney of the Golden State Warriors. He put up a double-double in decent enough minutes, probably, I guess, what we'd be expecting, around 18 minutes, 10 and 10. Two assists, but the steal, the two blocks, is what really sealed it for him. He was 46% from the field on 11 attempts, played some power forward, played some center behind Damian Jones, and looked to be that clear backup ahead of Jordy Bell, who barely played, only 7 minutes of action for Bell, 2 minutes in the first half, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, but it was not an auspicious start. Looney was a guy who put up pretty good numbers at the end of last season. He's owned in only 1% of Yahoo leagues, which is crazy to me that it is that low, because he was always going to have an opportunity to put up numbers as a high defensive number guy, and we saw it here, good steals, good blocks, can be a good field goal percentage guy as well. The upside's probably not that high, but more than 1% ownership would have been something I'd expect from Kevon Looney, but not to be. And he is your Deep League Player of the Night.
Young Gun of the Night.
Benny Simmons, he looked really, really fantastic. Almost snagged the monstrous line of the night, Benny. He ended up with 19, 15, and 8, played a whopping 43 minutes, which was a huge point for the Sixers in their large loss against the Celtics. Four steals, two blocks. Yeah, he didn't hit a three. He didn't attempt a three. But he did go 50% from the field. The worry there with him, though, is that free throw percentage. So many attempts, 11 attempts, 46% from the line is not good. He was a 70% free throw guy in the playoffs, high 60s in college, and we hoped he could get to that level. Of course, I'm not writing off that possibility now, but he showed a few moves, a few, more than dunks and layups. He just is so far ahead of the game than nearly everyone else on the court in terms of seeing where he needs to go, where other players need to go. When he needs to get to the rack, he can do it. He has got legitimate MVP upside potential, maybe not for this year, but it's not a complete crazy thought to think that he could be up there even in the top five this year. He looks excellent. The free throw percentage is a problem, but he is going to be a first round guy for many, many years to come. And if that free throw gets to 75, 76%, you know, Blake Griffin style improvement, then you are, you know, locking in as a top five guy probably moving forward, and adding the threes is huge. But of course, no threes, no free throw percentage. You do really have to pay attention to that. In leagues, I grabbed him, I think, at the end of the start of the second round in the league I did last week. And I'm pretty happy with the beginning there from Simmons. The 43 minutes a night's not going to stick. But, you know, we saw Brett Brown really lean heavily on his better players in this game, despite it being an 18-point margin in the end. And Simmons put up those numbers, which were, they were pretty impressive. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Yes, Simmons's Philadelphia teammate, Dario Saric. He did get into some foul trouble, 5 fouls in 23 minutes, 6 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 assist. No steals. He had the triple zero. No threes, no steals, no blocks. 3 of 8 from the field, didn't get to the line, and I told you I was worried about Saric. I thought he was going extraordinarily high in drafts for a guy that was ranked outside the top 130 for the last 3 months of last season. Maybe I've got that number marginally wrong, but it was definitely outside the top 100. And a guy that, you know, now we have to try and incorporate Markel Fultz into this rotation. Wilson Chandler will come back at some point. More minutes for Embiid, if we're judging it off this game. And I think Šarić is in trouble. And I think at some point this year, he won't be a standard league player. Now, at this point, I'm holding on. There is foul trouble involved here. And I just want to see what goes on with this team as we move forward, but it was not the greatest performance from Dario in this game. Really did struggle. Your defensive stats are never really his forte, and I do worry about his overall usage, his minutes, his lack of defensive numbers, and this it's not a great sign for his value moving forward. And he is it's a reason why I avoided him in most situations when I was drafting. I think I got him in maybe one draft. And that was an auction where I didn't have to take him at his ADP, and he fell for decent value in a punt big man stat build. Not a great start for Dario Šarić.
Plus minus goats.
Let's take a look at something else I want to introduce, just something fun I want to talk about. Who had the highest, and I was going to do plus minus, but in the end I'm going with net rating. So the GOAT and the GOAT. The GOAT as in the capital G-O-A-T, or the GOAT. Who was the worst net rating player of the day? Who was the best net rating player of the day? Marcus Morris was a plus 49.3, and of course, one game sample sizes mean jack shit. That's why I'm not reading too much into this. I just thought it'd be fun to mention. And the worst net rating on the day went to Terrence Ferguson of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who was a negative 51.2. I'm limiting these to players who played at least 15 minutes, so not someone who comes on for 2 minutes and has a plus 100 or a minus 80 or something like that. It's got to be guys who play more than 15 minutes. So your plus minus best, your best net rating of the day goes to Marcus Morris, and your worst goes to Terry Ferguson of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Guys, if you do want to advertise your podcast or your company on this podcast, this is a great way to do it. Your company could be mentioned right now in this spot. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors they hear on their podcast. And our demographic is 98% male, more educated, earning more money than traditional media audiences. You can have your company sponsor this podcast by emailing me at redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Let's look at some injury news to talk about some news that's gone down in the last 24 hours. Damari Carroll is having some surgery on his ankle. He is out indefinitely. They say it's a minor surgery, but it's still a surgery. They're still cutting you open. They're sticking shit in there, and they've got to sew it back up. So I'd imagine 2 to 3 weeks minimum for Damari on the sidelines. I'd guess 4 weeks. We've got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's doubtful at the moment, or questionable with his hip groin issue. The blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, is out as well. So there's some minutes opening up there. Does that mean that Jan and Musa or Rowdy Roddy and Skurix can jump in? Is it Jared Dudley? Is it Kenneth Farid? I don't think any of them are going to be standard league type of players. But I'm keeping an eye, especially on Skurix, who was really impressive in the preseason. And there is now clearly an opportunity for minutes in Brooklyn with those injuries befalling these small forward, power forward, shooting guard type players. Jumpin' Joe Harris and, of course, Caris LeVert, who is a must-own guy. Caris LeVert, make sure he is owned in your league. You need to go and grab him, and this injury to Damari should only solidify that for you. In Miami, we've got the Duke Wayne Ellington. He is doubtful with an ankle injury. You've got Justice Winslow, who's doubtful with a hamstring injury. That's going to boost the short-term value of Scooter Magruder. Joshie Richardson there as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see Derek Jones Jr. get a starting gig there, with Deion Waiters also out, and Tyler Johnson. I don't think either of these situations are serious, but I do need to bring that to your attention. While Mike Muscala missed today's game, and it looks like he's going to be out for around 2 weeks with this ankle injury. So expect more big minutes for Ben Simmons. We've got no baby neck Wilson Chandler. He's out as well. So TJ McConnell's going to get extra run in this type of situation. And maybe that means more minutes for Joel Embiid, because it's clear that Brett Brown is really not enamored by Amir Johnson, who barely played at all today while Embiid went out there and played 37 minutes. Andre Iguodala also left the Golden State Warriors game with a calf issue, calf tightness. They said he was questionable to return. He never returned despite the game being close. We know he's old. Calf injuries and old men do not mix well. So that's something to pay attention to. Jonas Jerebko took his minutes in the second half and played well. He's always been a good player, in my opinion, Jerebko, but has really been, I think, stiffed quite a bit throughout his NBA career. Let's see if he can do anything. He's not going to be much of a fantasy impact guy because, of course, we're talking about players on the Warriors, which is always tough to get that sort of value that you are after. All right, Let's now get into these games and talk about them in a little bit more detail, as we do in this segment. We're talking Philadelphia and Boston first up. Talked about Simmons already, and I do have to mention Embiid, who did play 37 minutes, had 23 and 10, had two blocks. Yeah, turned the ball over quite a bit, but yeah, at his best, and you know, actually that's not true, not at his best, and still went 23 and 10 with two blocks. So I think that where we were looking at Embiid at the end of that first round seems pretty realistic. I was encouraged by Robert Covington, playing 34 minutes. Didn't shoot well, but did what he does. Rebounds, steals, and blocks. Hit two threes, and I don't think you could ask for too much more. While Markel Fultz played 21 first-half minutes and then 3 second-half minutes. You know, the halftime line looked all right. 5 points, three rebounds, two assists, and a steal. That's where it stayed. The shooting wasn't great. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He was 1 of 2 from the free throw line. If you drafted Fultz, I would be hanging tight. I think that they still want to be, you know, trying this, and I didn't like the change in rhythm with him starting the first half and Redick starting the second half. We'll see how long that actually lasts. I would definitely still hold Fultz. It was an interesting start, positive in terms of, you know, the play, and the numbers were starting to come up. And if you double the halftime stats and you get 10-6-4 with two steals, that's a pretty interesting performance for a guy that you got around 100, 110. Of course, the way it sits now with very little involvement in that second half is troubling, and there is still that concern with the fit with Simmons and him not hitting threes, didn't even take one in this game. That's somewhat of a concern. Also, TJ McConnell, 22 minutes, two-minute minutes for McConnell. I think when we get Muscala the Moose and Baby Neck Wilson Chandler back, McConnell should be out of that rotation, although you make the argument that he's a better player than Fultz at this point. I'm not sure that's the entire reason that you put him into the rotation, but we'll see how that all ends up. For Boston, as I said, Gordon Hayward only 25 minutes, 10-5 with 4 steals. He was understandably rusty. He's on this minutes restriction for a couple of weeks. Didn't start the second half with Aaron Baines there. Weird stuff from Boston. No one played 30 minutes. Jason Tatum looked great at 29% usage rate. Is probably not something he's going to be able to do most games, but 23-9, another really efficient night shooting, 53%. Only 20% from three, which is worth paying attention to. I just don't think he's going to be able to maintain that level of usage. It helps that Hayward only played 25 minutes. It helps that Kyrie only played 29 and was an abysmal 2 of 14 from the field, getting that more of that stuff going through Tatum. It's going to be a roller coaster. I like Tatum. I think he's got top 25, probably even top 10 fantasy upside at some point. I just worry about the people who took him at pick 40. And today, I look dumb for saying that, but if you took him at pick 40, I still worry that he's going to be able to return that level of value. Terry Rozier, one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA, 11-8 in 27 minutes. Interestingly, he played more minutes than Marcus Smart. I didn't think that would be the case. He played alongside Kyrie Irving. Again, like Tatum, the 27 minutes that Rozier got, I'm not sure how realistic that is to expect every night. The Celtics also only went with a 9-man rotation if you eliminate the 4 minutes that Daniel Tice played. I just don't think we're going to get 27 out of Rozier most nights. We're going to get 25 sometimes. We're going to get 24 on other nights. You're going to get 21 on other nights. It is going to change quite a bit depending on the situation, and he's fine to go and grab. I just think the upside for him is limited as long as Kyrie is healthy. If Kyrie goes down, then Rozier puts up numbers. But even last year when Irving went down, it wasn't like, yeah, Rozier was putting up top 50 numbers because his efficiency was a real issue. So he's someone you can have a look at, but I wouldn't be falling 100% all over myself to go grab him. Irving, as I said, shitful night from him. Try the buy low and go real low. Go with an outside the top 60 type of a guy. People panic significantly after game one. I heard someone tweeted at me today that after this game that the Celtics should trade Kyrie so they can give all the touches to Jason Tatum. That seems like an aggressive type of a thought process after one game. Kyrie was rusty, and that sort of stuff happens. And Jaylen Brown continues to be mediocre fantasy-wise. 12-5 in 28 minutes. Poor percentage. It's what's plagued him through his first two NBA seasons. I didn't really see that taking a massive step forward, and it didn't. But again, it's one game, so that stuff could, of course, change at some point. Let's look at the next game. It is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. The Thunder kept it close. They end up losing by 8 points. Patrick Patterson did get that start at power forward, but only played 19 minutes. No foul trouble involved there. While Jeremy Grant off the bench played 29. I guess the point there with Grant is the three blocks is interesting. 7 points, two rebounds. Not someone I'm, you know, falling all over myself to go grab. Same as Patterson. One of the biggest, do the least with the most type players in the NBA. Did have a triple one, took quite a few shots early, but didn't do a huge amount with that. We had Terry Ferguson starting. He was shitful. 0 points in 27 minutes, while MC Hamadou Diallo.
Stop. Have a time.
He only played the 8 minutes. It was some, and I thought there was a chance that he might start this game, actually. Alex Abrines was the best of that group. 8 points with two triples, while Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot didn't actually see the court at all, which I thought was a little bit surprising. He's probably the best player of that quartet and didn't see the court, just getting absolutely nothing out of that position. Steven Adams, dealing with a back issue, played 36 minutes and had 17 and 11, a surprising 4 assists. He doesn't block many shots, blocked 0 here, and the free throw percentage, which I've talked about as being a worry, it was evident here. Now, 63% is okay, but it's the 8 attempts, and that's the thing I worried about with Adams, is increasing his usage, increasing his free throw percentage, free throw attempts could really have an effect on his value. Paulie George, a quick touch on him, really good night, poor shooting from the field and the line, but strong otherwise. Well, Dennis Schroeder, if he's on your wire, you go and grab him. 21, 9, and 6, 2 steals. A very Atlanta Hawks Dennis Schroeder type performance. Poor field goal percentage, defensive lapses, but as long as Russell Westbrook is out, which may not even be any more games, and Andre Robertson, it's clear that Schroeder is an upgrade over Diallo or Ferguson or Abrines or Luwawu-Cabarrot in that shooting guard position. So I imagine his minutes and his role will be relatively similar even when Westbrook returns. On to the Golden State Warriors, little to talk about there except for Damian Jones. 27 minutes. This is the guy that played 174 minutes in his first two seasons combined. He played 27 minutes here, 12 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Looked at home, was like a supercharged JaVale McGee for this team. We do have to remember that he has played one good game before in his career, and it was against Steven Adams and against those big centers, and he is going to be starting the next two games at least, against Rudy Gobert and against Nikola Jokic, some other big-bodied guys. But the way that the Kerr used that center rotation, 27 minutes for him, 18 minutes for Looney, and then 7 minutes only for Jordan Bell. He's a real pain in the ass. I think Bell's upside, once we heard that Jones was going to start, it did put a real cap on what Bell could do in terms of minutes upside. I didn't think it'd be this bad. I think there'll be other nights when it gets better than this. I just think that Kerr still has a real issue with Bell, even if I do think he's the better option here. But Jones fit in really well. It was a big body. He looked a little bit more in place than what he has at other points in his career. And he's interesting to take a flyer on. But I think in the end, these centers like Looney, like Jones, like Bell, then none of them are really going to be staple standard league type players. You could very easily go and grab Jones now and see what happens. But in the end, it's more going to be streaming. It's going to be for deeper type formats. Quinny Cook had 3 points in 13 minutes, while Draymond, they said they were going to limit his minutes, played 33, only the 2 points, but 13 boards, 5 assists, and 3 steals. It's one of the reasons I'm pretty sour on him as an early round draft pick in a lot of formats, because he doesn't score, and he just can't. It's so hard to catch up with scoring if you don't get it early, and Green showed more of that there today, but the other numbers are still pretty good, even if he did not have a block. Durant, a quick touch on him, 27, 8, and 6, because he is, of course, he's pretty bloody good. All right, let's talk about what are we going to move on to? Ooh, I'm just still getting into the swing of things with the with this how do you call it, show, the daily show for the season. We're going to talk some DFS. Let's talk. Oh, I've got to bring my face back up. I've got to get back used to this. There we go. Let's talk about the perfect DFS lineup over on DraftKings. I played DraftKings for the first time today because it is available in Australia. I finished 366. I only played in the, and I'm barely going to play in it really. I played in the GPP, the 250, the $1 million contest, finished 366th in that, with one of my two entries there. So pretty happy with that result. Steph had 58.5. Dennis Schroeder had 47.25. Paulie George, 43.5. Jason Tatum, 40.75. Steve-O Adams, 41.25. Benny Simmons, 61.75. Marcus Morris, 34.5. And Damo Jones had 23.75 for a total of 351.25. And that cost $49,900 on FanDuel. Now, I think I'm going to have to adjust what I'm looking at here in terms of the perfect lineup, given the new rules of dropping your lower score. But for now, this is the perfect 9-man lineup on FanDuel. Simmons had 64, Rozier 24.1, Redick 19.9, Schroeder 46.8, Durant 48.6, Paul George 43.9, Marcus Morris and Kevon Looney both had 33 points, and Steven Adams 40.2 for a total of 353.5, and that cost $59,800 dues. We have got 11 games on for DFS for Wednesday. It is the real start to the NBA season with games all over the place. There's going to be so much going down, so much trying to keep up with it all. Let's talk about these games now. We'll start today. I'm going to focus more on the FanDuel pricing. Yesterday I did DraftKings. I'm going to try and go back and forth on those two sites in terms of talking about their pricing. It's the Brooklyn Nets and the Detroit Pistons up first. The Pistons are 5-point favorites. The total is 212, so sort of a middling total. There's two games that are over 220 at the moment in terms of totals, and there is two that are under 210. As I already mentioned, the blue swimmer Alan Crabb and Damari Carroll are both out for Brooklyn, so some opportunities there, no doubt. I'm talking FanDuel here again. I really like D'Angelo Russell at 6,700. He's going to have to push up and play some more minutes as he shares a backcourt with Spencer Dinwiddie, because Caris LeVert's going to be pushing up and playing more three as well. So I like D'Angelo quite a bit at that price. As for Dinwiddie at 5,100, that's more of a tournament type GPP situation. And then in Detroit, you've got Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith. Jackson's at 6,100. Ish is at 41. We've heard they're going to play together. I don't like Reggie. If I'm going to use one of these point guards, it's going to be Ish, because occasionally he has these random nights, and if he gets 24 minutes, he could easily break through that 4,100 mark, but I wouldn't feel comfortable about using it. But it's an interesting guy to even throw in. Maybe it is even in a cash game, because again, we're eliminating that lower score, and Ish could be that guy in a FanDuel lineup. For the shooting guards, love Caris LeVert, $6,000. I think he should get that with a pretty safe floor. Maybe he's got 38, 40-point upside in this one, which we're talking about 6 to 7x value. I really like LeVert. Well, jumping Joe Harris at 3,900 is a great guy to put in. No Crab, no Carroll, a limited Hollis Jefferson. Harris can come in, he can bang in threes. It's nothing to say that he won't come in and hit 18 points all from three-point land and really bring value just on the shooting alone. So at 3,900, it's a great price, I think, for jumping Joe Harris. In comparison, Reggie Bullock's going to start for Detroit. He's at 4,300. Give me Harris every day of the week over Bullock there. Save myself $400, and I feel better about what he can do anyway. Well, Luki Kennard at 4,100. I just have my concerns in terms of how he's going to be used in this rotation, especially if they're going to persist with Reggie Jackson pairing with Ish Smith. And Dwayne Casey said, oh, we want to do that because Reggie Jackson's an excellent three-point shooter. Must be thinking of a completely different player, because Reggie Jackson is a 32% career three-point shooter, and that is very, 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 very far off the definition of a good three-point shooter. So Dwayne Casey, he's just hovering off the shit list at the moment with coaches. We'll see how this goes. But comments like that, they don't really endear him to me. Small forwards, there's very little to like here. Jarrett Dudley, Glenn Robinson, Stan Johnson even, who's questionable with a toe injury. Not much to like there. The power forwards, Blakey Griffin's at 8,200. There are better options, I think, in the 8,000 price point than Griffin. I think he's more of if he's 7,500, he'd be really, really good value. 82, not really that appealing. While Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, that's a clear stay away to me. 6,700 coming off the injury. Look, if he wasn't injured, he'd go, great, no Damari Carroll, let's load up on Rondae. But I don't think we should be thinking about it that way there. Well, Rowdy Rodions Kurucs, a minimum salary player. He showed an ability to score and get steals in preseason. That's interesting with the three-point steal scoring system on FanDuel. Maybe that works out for you there. You also got the tackle box, John Lua, at minimum salary. And I just wanted to reintroduce the tackle box nickname, because he didn't even play really at all last season. At center, I like Eddie Davis. Minimum salary center, probably going to have limited opportunities for guys like Hollis Jefferson to play center, given the lack of depth on the wing at the moment. 3,500, a rebounding machine. I think that there's a 25-point upside there for Davis, which is pretty strong at minimum salary. You've got Jared Allen at 5,600. You always worry about what Atkinson's going to do with the minutes. There are other options on an 11-game slate that I prefer, especially going up against Andre Drummond, which can be a problem. So I'd probably leave Allen alone. And as for Drummond, 10,200 is bloody expensive. He has done well against the Nets in the past, and I think he can give Jared Allen some significant problems. But that's a very expensive price for Drummond, and I think I'd leave him more for tournaments, and I think there are going to be better options for you to go and spend on rather than Andre Drummond. On DraftKings, the guys I do like here, Reggie Bullock, I like Caris LeVert, I like D'Angelo Russell, LeVert especially at 5,800, and Bullock comes in at 39. That's a more interesting price to me. And I talked about Bullock and Joe Harris on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it's the other way around because Jumpin' Joe Harris comes in at 4,600. So for that price difference, give me Bullock in that scenario, a starter. Andre Drummond more appealing on DraftKings at 9,500, but only marginally so. Same with Blake Griffin. Well, Ed Davis has less appeal on DraftKings than what he does over on FanDuel. So that will cover us off for the first game of the night. The second game we're looking at is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 6.5 points, and the total is 207 points. Interesting stuff from Memphis. It appears, and it's not guaranteed at this point, that the Grizzlies are going to be running out a starting lineup of Mike Conley, of course, Garrett Temple. You've got Dylan Brooks, you've got Marshawn Brooks, you've got Wayne Seldon, you could throw Andy Harrison in there, you could put Kyle Anderson at shooting guard, as you did in the last preseason game, but no, let's put Garrett Temple out there. And the starting small forward is Chandler Parsons. Now, I really like Chandler Parsons. I think he's had some really shit luck in terms of injuries. Maybe hasn't comported himself the best on Instagram with some of the, flippancy to, or what may appear as flippancy in terms of returning from that injury. But he's back. He looks better in preseason. But really, we're going to be starting Chandler Parsons here, a guy who played okay last year, but sucked the last year, even if you're not even including the injuries. The play just wasn't good. Now, some of that's injury related, of course. And the thing that confuses me here is the guy who was the starting small forward on the San Antonio Spurs, a strong playoff team coached by Greg Popovich, who was very, very impactful last season. Kyle Anderson, who you pried away in restricted free agency, you thought high enough of him to throw an offer sheet, a four-year offer sheet nonetheless. You won that offer sheet, and you're going to bring him off the bench behind Chandler Parsons. You could start them together. You could put them in the backcourt together. It's a confusing decision for me from Bickerstaff here. Now, I talked about Dwayne Casey being on the periphery of my shit list. Bickerstaff's on there. He starts on there, and he doesn't get a benefit of the doubt at this point. But I will say this. There might be something to it because we've heard some whispers that they want to use Anderson as a point guard in the second unit. So maybe having him on the bench and bringing him in as Conley's backup and then playing him alongside Mike as it goes along is interesting. For those of you in standard leagues, if you drafted Anderson like I did in many, many places, I am 100% still holding. We have got no idea how this is going to pan out. And even if he only plays 25 minutes here, in under 27 minutes per game last year, he was a top 100 player. Doesn't need 30. If he gets 30, it's a massive bonus. Does not need 30 minutes to be useful. Jermichael Green looking like he's going to start at power forward. Again, and Marc Gasol at center. So that is the likelihood of the Grizzlies starting five. The Pacers one, pretty straightforward. We know what that's going to be with Collison Oladipo, Bogdanovic Young, and Miles Turner, who just signed that extension. Let's talk point guards. Daz Collison's at 5,100. I think Tyreke Evans is going to eat into his value. That's a pretty decent price for Collison, but there are much more appealing options around. Conley at 8,000. I like Conley this year. I don't want to spend 8,000 for him in the first game of the season with Victor Oladipo potentially terrorizing him defensively. And Corey Joseph dealing with an injury, who is questionable, the only questionable player from a health perspective anyway, in this game. 3,500. No, thank you very much. The shooting guards is where the interest really lies. 8,800 for Victor Oladipo. I'm here for that. I think there is some solid cash value in that if you're wanting to spend up on someone on this slate. Getting 8,800 from Victor Oladipo, I think, is a pretty strong option. Garrett Temple's at 37, nothing more than a tournament, and he is just not a high stat producing type of a player. While Dylan Brooksy Brooks at $4,000. If he started, maybe. He put up big numbers at the end of last season when he was starting and getting every piece of usage under the sun. That's not going to be the case, so don't read too much into that. Really only looking at them as tournament-type guys. In fact, if I'm going to look at a tournament guy, it's probably going to be Marshawn Brooks, someone who can legitimately go out there in limited minutes and light it up. He's a $3,900 player. At small forward, Chandler Parsons' minimum salary, I'm okay with that. Again, we're trying to take advantage of the FanDuel rules, the drop lower score. Minimum salary, Chandler Parsons, who can give you 24, maybe. At minimum salary, 25-minute Chandler Parsons, I think he can give you minimum 18 points. Minimum. And then best case, 26, 27, And that gives you great value at that sort of salary. So I think he's worth looking at in that type of a scenario on FanDuel at that price. You've got Bogdanovich at 4,300 with all of the usage guys around in Indiana. I'm not really all that interested there. While Tyreek is listed as a small forward, he's a $7,400 player. I'll pass on him until we see exactly how it all pans out. You've got Anderson at 7,200. Absolutely no way at 7,200 will I be looking to invest there. Same as Dougie McDirt. At power forward, Jermichael Green's at 4,900. Someone else can bother with that. While Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. is at 5,400 at best, a tournament type of guy. Same with Thaddeus Young at 57. In fact, not the same because I wouldn't even bother with him as a tournament player. While Domantas Sabonis at 5,600, they're going to limit the minutes he plays alongside Miles Turner. Turner's been dealing with an injury. He looks like he's going to play. Sabonis is fine, but I think that price takes away a lot of the upside there. At center, you've got Marc Gasol and Miles Turner. To me, 6,700 for Miles Turner. Not interested in that against Marc Gasol, who does limit, as do the Grizzlies' pace, limit centers, and Turner is as flaky as they come. While Gasol at 8,100, there are much better options to spend your $8,000 on or to fill your center slot than doing that on Gasol. On DraftKings, I think Gasol there, look, that's a big difference. 6,600 for Marc Gasol on DraftKings. I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's load it up. That is a big difference, and I am all about that. Tyreek at 62 has good value there, too. And Kyle Anderson, 4,400. I'm about that. Now, that's more of a tournament one, but I think his usage will be low when people see the starting lineup and they go, my Chandler Parsons, much like I just did. They'll be less interested in going Kyle Anderson. You could get low ownership on Kyle there, and that could work in a tournament. So I'd be interested in having a look there. Oladipo at 8,000 is a pretty strong option there as well. Chandler Parsons, not as appealing. Not minimum salary, 3,800 in fact. So that takes away a bit of the upside. Still not terrible, but worth a look. And Miles Turner again, Daz Collison, probably fading those guys over on the old DK also. Let's go to the next game. We're looking at the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic in this one. As I said, we've got Justice Winslow, we've got the Duke Wayne Ellington, we've got Jim Johnson, we've got Deion Waiters who are all out. Well, that's not true. Sorry, Justice Winslow is doubtful. You've also got the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, who's listed as questionable. And if he is out, then it's completely up in the air. What's going to happen? Is it going to be Tyler Johnson, Derek Jones, Dwayne Wade, all these guys? But Josh Richardson is the guy who I think is going to just absorb a shit ton of usage. We saw him in the preseason really take on a big offensive load with Waiters, with Ellington, with Johnson, with Winslow, all these guys out. Richardson's going to do more, and I'm really pumped to see what he can do in a situation that's pretty strong. The Heat are favored by 2.5. The total's 210 points. Let's talk point guards. DJ Augustin, starting point guard, 4,200. I'm all about it on FanDuel, getting a 5X floor type of guy. I'm pretty happy with that. Load up in some other areas. You've got the iron shoulder at 6,000. Don't want to take the risk with the injury. I'm not even sure his upside's all that high at that sort of a salary. Tyler Johnson would be interesting. 3,900, an opportunity if Dragic sits, especially on FanDuel. No late swap, but the lower score situation. Put Tyler in there. If Dragic sits, you win. If he doesn't, then you just drop that score out. So he is definitely an option in that scenario. Well, Jaren Grant's at 4,200. We'll leave that alone. The shooting guards, just a bunch of poo, really, on the Orlando side. I don't like Evan Fournier. Actually, that's not true. I really like Evan Fournier. I don't like him for DFS at this price point. Terry Ross, no thanks. Well, Dwayne Wade and Scooter Magruder are 48 and 3,500 respectively. Both of those guys get a bump if Dragic is out. We've got somewhat of a bump now as it is, and you can throw Wade into a tournament, but it feels like one out of 10 games you'll get a big Dwayne Wade game, and the others, he will suck quite a bit. Small forwards, Johnny Isaac. Too high, 5,700. I like Isaac. That's too high to have any reliability on it. We think he's going to start, but we can't be guaranteed of that, nor can we guarantee the minutes. Well, John Simmons will get small forward minutes. He'll get some point guard minutes as well. He's at 5,300, but you just feel that the minutes are probably going to be too low. Again, taking a punt on someone, Derek Jones Jr. is a minimum salary guy, a good tournament upside guy, especially if the Dragic injury holds. Jones has been putting up some interesting block type numbers. I don't really rate him as a player, but he has improved significantly over the last 12 months, and I'd be interested in that respect. With Jim Johnson out, Kelly Olynyk at 5,400, I feel like that's a real safe floor. Bigly interested into him. As Gordon's at 7,300. The shooting is the concern. The fluctuations in how consistent he can be from the field worries me, so that makes him more of a GPP type of a player. I think you can leave that alone. And then center, there's the value there. Bam Adebayo's at 4,100. If Bam gets the minutes, I think he's going to get, because Olynyk's going to be playing almost exclusively power forward with both Winslow and Johnson out, then that really helps Bam. He can play some power forward as well. 4,100, I'm in on it. Hassan Whiteside at 6,900.
Giggity.
Do they look to Whiteside as being the guy who does play these minutes and take that on, because Olynyk will be playing exclusively power forward pretty much? And yeah, 6,900 for Whiteside's pretty good value. I don't fully trust it for either guy, but I really think they're strong tournament players. On the Magic side, 7,700 for Vucevic. I'm worried about that. I'm not really interested in Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Bamba comes in at $4,000. Had some pretty impressive preseason showing, some that weren't quite so good. You know, it's hard to rule anyone out of tournaments, so maybe you can put Bamba there, but he wouldn't be the number one guy on my list for a GPP. On DraftKings, Whiteside, I didn't even talk about Josh Richardson, which I should have. I love Josh Richardson. You need to get Josh Richardson in lineups. I think he's going to have a big one. I really like him on DraftKings as well, 6,300, and Whiteside at 73, probably leaning more towards tournaments for Hassan. Love DJ Augustin again, 4,400, and Evan Fournier, much better, 5,400. That's a solid floor, really good cash type of play for Fournier over on DraftKings. 6,100 for Olynyk, pretty good as well. I'm not fully as into that as I am on FanDuel, but still okay. Well, Adebayo at 5,000 takes away a lot of the upside we may have gotten. Same with Dwayne Wade at 5,100. I'm just not quite sure that is a viable option to go with there. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Bucks are favored by 2. The total is 217. Malcolm Brogdon will be starting at shooting guard, pushing Tone Snell to the bench. Pair it up with Eric Bledsoe, Chrissy Middleton, Gianni Antetokounmpo, and Brookie Lopez. The Hornets, we haven't heard a starting lineup for them. I would assume it's going to be Walker, Lamb, Batum, Marv Williams, and Cody Zeller. I'd be pretty stunned if it wasn't, but we haven't heard for sure just at this point. Eric Bledsoe's at 7,400, a decent matchup for him against Kemba Walker. I think there are going to be better options around it on FanDuel, but not a horrendous guy to have a look at. I just doesn't really get me that excited looking at him. While Kemba at 8,300, the Bucks I think are going to have a pretty stifling type of defense. I worry about spending 8,300 on Kemba when for just a little bit more I can get Victor Oladipo, and that's what I'd be doing with those, get that extra $500. I think that's a really big difference in price there. So Kemba, not interested. Dally, Tone Parker, no. Shooting guard, Jez Lamb, 5,400, love it. Solid floor, think he's going to start. Good rebounder, high efficiency scorer, decent usage. While Chris Middleton comes in at 7,900. It's too high. Malik Monk at 4,800. I think it's too high as well. I'm not really interested in either of them. While Malcolm Brogdon at 5,400, I just don't see the upside in Brogdon sharing the court with Bledsoe, with Middleton, with Lopez, with Antetokounmpo. Where's he going to get shots? Now, he will run the second unit at times, but I still don't think at 5,400 that he's going to be worth that price tag. Nick Batum's at 7,200. Give me 6,200 Nick Batum and I'm all about it. 7,200. Probably time to fade that away. I really like Batum back in his natural position. More minutes than last year. Fully healthy offseason. I'm just not really feeling him at that sort of a salary. While Gianni at 12,000, that's pretty bloody expensive. We know what Antetokounmpo can do, but at 12,000, you want to nail 60 points. I think he's more of a 50, 55-ish type of a guy. Of course, he can go there, and you would be really, really looking to put him in anchor, a tournament type of lineup, along with guys like Jim Harden and Tone Davis, your big money guys for the day. I'm just not so sure about Gianni at $12,000. It just feels a little bit high. What potentially could be a blowout, Budenholzer could limit the minutes if the game gets out of hand against the Hornets. So I'm not overly interested. When the salary ticks to $12,000 on FanDuel, it's nearly always a, just a little bit of a, not quite sure about it, especially on an 11-game slate where you can fit some other guys in. But again, making a tournament lineup, you get more minimum options to put in alongside him, and that's the time you'd look at him. Miles Bridges is close to minimum. He's 3,900. A couple of strong games to begin the preseason. Shit one to end it. I just worry where the minutes going to be. If Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out, I'd be more interested in looking at Bridges. Kidd-Gilchrist dealing with a concussion. The other injury to check in this one is Thon McCur, who's dealing with a knee injury. And if he is out, do they go to the Muppet or do they go to Christian Wood? I'd love to see Christian Wood, but I'm not sure that's the direction they will go. Power forward, Starvin Marvin Williams, 4,700, as low. I said you can pretty much throw anyone into a tournament. Marvin Williams is as low upside as you can get, so you can have that one. While Ersan Ilyasova at 4,200, I'm just not sure the minutes are quite going to be there. Of course, foul trouble can always occur. Injuries can occur, but I think Ilyasova is a low value play. At centers where the value is, though, I think Bill Hernan Gomez at $4,000, Cody Zeller at 4,600. Zeller is a low upside but solidish floor guy. With Hernan Gomez, man, he can double-double in 20 minutes. If he knocks down threes and blocks a couple of shots and he smashes through 4,000, you know, 24, 28 points is a potential for Hernan Gomez at 4,000. Really, really like that. And I talked about getting a cheaper center before when I talked about Marc Gasol and having to spend so much there. This is the perfect example. You take someone like Bill, it's only $4,000. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, oh well, it's $4,000. Brookie Lopez is at 5,800. I expect a bounce back from him as opposed to last season. Just not sure 5,800 is. It's not terrible. It's not great, though. It doesn't make my eyes light up and go, well, yeah, here is where the value is coming from in this game. On DraftKings, it's, again, the opposite. Brook Lopez is at 4,800. Then I go, yeah, let's go. All right, I'm here for that. 4,800 for Brook Lopez. 30, 32, 34-point upside. Cody Zeller at 41, rock-solid floor. Really, I love what Zeller can do. He's one of my favorite and it sounds so dumb to say Zeller is one of your favorite players, but he just gets shit done, and he's just impactful without really ever being noticed. So that's, you know, I like him from a real-life winning perspective. Just from a fantasy perspective, he is as boring as dog shit. But a solid floor cash type of a guy. Kemba, a little bit better on DraftKings at 7,600. Batum, a lot better at 61. And Jez Lamb at 57, still coming in pretty strong. Yanni, better on DraftKings at 10,900, but still relatively expensive, but of course, you know, usable as we've talked about already. Let's go on to the next one. It is the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Toronto Raptors, your Eastern Conference semifinals matchup from last season. Of course, very, very different teams. The Raptors are favored by a monster 12 points, the largest spread of the day. The total is 214, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, talk about shit list. I'm not sure if Ty Lue's quite there. He's pretty close. He's on the precipice. They are going to be starting Tristan Thompson over Larry Nance. Now, the word was, we want Thompson to start against the big centers. We want Nance to start against the small centers. The Raptors are going to start Serge Ibaka at center most likely. And if that's what you classify as a big center, that's a real worry for what Nance is going to do. They just extended him. He's better than Tristan Thompson. He's better defensively. He's a better offensive player than Thompson. But just going back to this Thompson bullshit is going to be frustrating all season. Now, on the positive side, I give Lou credit because he's going to start Rocket Rodney Hood. He's going to start Jetty Osman over Kyle Korver, over the plumber J.R. Smith, over Jordy Clarkson. We're going to have George Hill starting at point guard as well. And perhaps the other surprise with the plumber out, David Nwaba not going to be in the rotation. It's going to be Sammy Decker who slips in there, which again, somewhat of a surprise, but that was what Ty Lue said today. But coaches can lie, as we'll talk about when we get to the next game. So let's talk point guards in this one. Of course, Fred VanVleet is the guy we're all, the name on everyone's lips. Now, he's a $3,700 guy. You're going to get 20 minutes out of him. And with the massive blowout potential, could he play 26? Or could some of those minutes go to Lorenzo Brown? But I think that Fred VanVleet can get you 20, can get you 26, 27 even. I like him as a tournament, a real cheap option. Georgie Hill's at 5,000. Forget Utah George Hill on a shitty team or a shittier team where he's given more responsibility, then he smashes that. But he's just disappeared. He's just not the same bloke anymore. So I'm not sure that he is really worth looking at. DeLon Wright is questionable. He's dealing with a leg issue. I think it's like a groin problem. Not really all that keen on DeLon at 3,800. Give me Freddie for $100 less. More happy there. While Colin Sexton at 5,200, no. A guy who doesn't contribute in enough peripheral categories, coming off the bench and can be inefficient against the best defense in the NBA. Or maybe, depends on how you view Utah. Not for me. Rocket Rodney Hood's at 5,200, the king of tournaments. And by that, I mean you don't want anything to do with him in cash game because he could literally go out and shit the court. Shit his pants on the court. That is a literal possibility with Rocket. So that's why you always worry about him. He is, the Cavs had a slew of guys who were considered questionable. They're all probable, apart from Nance, who is still questionable. Maybe that's the reason they're starting Thompson instead of him. Hood, Love, and Osman are all rated as probable to play. Dan Green's at 4,700. I'll probably leave that. He did go off in his last preseason game, but I'll leave him out of it. Well, Jordy Clarkson at $5,000. It's really only tournaments. Just never met a shot that he did not want to take. The guy that I love pretty much across all platforms is Chetty Osman. 4,500 for Chetty. Going to start, going to play make, going to score, going to do plenty of different things. I love him at 4,500. I love him for cash. I love him for tournaments. And then you've got, of course, the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
Kawhi is at 9,600. That is expensive. Kawhi in the past could have gotten to that pretty comfortably. Is there going to be rust coming back here for his first real competitive game outside of preseason in, you know, since January? Maybe. That's why I'd probably fade him because of the $9,600 price tag. Bring that down a bit, and I'm all about Leonard. But he is someone to watch here to see how it goes. Just not sure I'm totally into it. The Jedi OG Ananobi.
Hello there.
He's at 4,700. Probably leave that one alone as well. And for God knows what reason, Larry Nance is listed as a small forward on FanDuel. He is at 6,200 off the bench. Ankle problem. No thanks. At power forward, Pascal Siakam. I've loved what I've seen from Siakam. I think he's got massive, massive upside. Not sure it's going to come to fruition here, but he is a tournament option. Blowout risk, extra minutes coming. Better player than Serge Ibaka. I'm interested in looking at him while Kevin Love is at 8,300. Yeah, the injury worries you a bit with Love. The sitting down the stretch, if it's a blowout, is a worry. I'd throw him into a tournament. I think there's some value in him at 8,300. And Serge Ibaka at 55, I'll leave that alone. The centers, Jonas Valanciunas at 6,200. Valanciunas can come in. He can just eat in that second unit. I don't fully trust him at that price. 5,200, I would have been all about Jonas, but at 6,200, I'll probably leave that alone. Well, Tristan Thompson, I'll let Chloe put him in her lineups. On the DraftKings side of things, it's Jetty again. 4,200. Love Osman there at that price. Well, the fun guy is at 8,100. That's what I love. Kawhi Leonard at 8,100. I think you're going to be scared of it. You're going to be worried. I think you got to put it in at 8,100. I really, really like his price tag there. Some other guys that stand out, Siakam again at 46. Didn't talk Kyle Lowry on FanDuel. I'm not massively into him there, but I am on DraftKings. Kevin Love at 86. I'm more down there, while George Hill at 45 is a little bit more appealing over on DraftKings. Well, Van Vliet's at 5,000, so that takes away that value that I was talking about with him over on FanDuel. Let's go on to the next game, and I have thoughts about a few things in this one. It's the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. We know that the Baptist John Collins is out. We know the Undertaker Dwayne Dedman is also out. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on in this game. Vince Carter is going to start. Trae Young is going to start. But I want to talk about the Knicks starting. Actually, first of all, the Knicks are favored by 3.5 points. The total is 213.5. Now, all we've heard from David Fizdale is on my shit list of coaches. I don't think he's as good as what people make out to be as a coach. We'll see how that pans out. I'm cautiously pessimistic with him at this point. All we've heard from him, Kevin Knox is going to start. There's going to be so much opportunity for Kevin Knox. We're going to throw him into the fire. In fact, after the final preseason game, David Fizdale came out and said, Kevin Knox is going to be starting at small forward. He's going to take his lumps and he's going to have to work through them as my starting small forward. Comes out today, not starting. Oh, if you ask Kevin, even he would say he was pretty shit in preseason. I'm completely paraphrasing. So why, after the preseason ended, did you come out and say he's our starting small forward and he's got to take the lumps? Now, I've got absolutely no problem with putting Frank Ntilikina into the starting lineup because he should be in there. And I've got no problem with Kevin Knox not being in the starting lineup because, as I've said plenty of times, I don't think he's that good. I don't think he has that high of an upside. But Lance Thomas is in there. Lance Thomas, we don't even know if he's going to play. Questionable at the moment with an injury. But don't come out and say it. Talk this bloke up as much as you want. And I tweeted this today and many people pushed back. Oh, no, Fizdale didn't lie. He had said that everyone has to earn their starting spot. And that's true. He said that. But he also said after the games were finished, Kevin Knox is my starting small forward and he has to play through the lumps. nah, Nick Minute, he's not. Now, either that's a lie or it's a change of opinion based on no games and just a complete reverse, of course, of everything that you have said throughout the preseason. Just some confusing stuff there. But Frank Ntilikina is your starting small forward. The guy that they drafted number 8 to be the starting point guard is now the starting small forward on this team. So Trey Burke, Timmy Hardaway, Frankie Ntilikina, Lance Thomas, and Enes Kanter are your starting five for the New York Knicks. Very, very interesting indeed to see how that all works out. But let's talk about it FanDuel-wise. Ntilikina's at 3,800, man. He can get steals. He can get assists. I'm in for it. Let's go. Now, I think Fizdale's going to piss us off with minutes. I don't think that many people are going to get to 30 minutes on this team, if anyone. But I like Ntilikina at 3,800. I like Trey Burke at 4,900 as well. Probably a better fantasy producer, but playing or costing $1,100 more. Not quite as interesting to go with, but value there as well. On the Atlanta side, Trae Young at 6,100. Yeah, let's go. Starting point guard. He gets assists. He gets steals. He can score. The defense from the Knicks. Ntilikina is a good defender, but is anyone else a good defender? Trey Burke isn't. Tim Hardaway isn't. Let's see how that all goes. It's going to be a high-paced game as well. The Hawks and the Knicks both want to push the tempo. So I'm into Young there. And even Jez Lynn at 5,000. Probably not as keen on him as I am on some other sites, but that's still pretty interesting to me for Jeremy Lin. At shooting guard, Timmy Hardaway's at 6,300. If Fizdale's actually going to keep everyone to 28 minutes a night, then I don't want anything to do with Tim at 6,300. Bazemore's at 5,900, probably a little bit too high for Kent, while Alonzo Trier at minimum salary, he's your tournament upside weird, let's have a crack guy. Courtney Lee is out of this game with this strained neck that he's dealing with. The small forwards, the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, $6,000, here for it 100%, let's go. Cash tournaments, all about Taurean there, while DeAndre Bembry at minimum salary, one good preseason game, couple of other decent enough games, not super interested in him though, while It's a Me Mario at 5,400. Now Kevin Knox is on the bench with him as well, that takes even more value away from Mario, so no, and Lance Thomas also a pretty big no. For the power forwards, Knox is at 5,100. He still might get that usage off the bench. If the shot goes in, that's fine, but he just doesn't do enough in those other areas. 5,100 takes him away from cash games for me. It would make him maybe okay for tournaments, but I'm not all that interested. While Noah Vonleh will be battling Mitchell Robinson for the backup center minutes, which one of those gets the majority there, I'm not sure. I get the feeling that it might be Vonleh, just with the talk of, you know, Robinson maybe going to the G League when the G League season kicks off. No one interesting there. While the Wizard, Amari Spellman, no Deadman, no Collins. So there are some minutes in that front court with Vince Carter starting at power forward for Spellman to take minimum salary guy who can do some weird things scoring-wise and get some assists and defensive numbers. But that's just a real weird tournament type of a guy that you could consider who is going to have a role. But the centers is where it's at, I think, in this one. Alex Len, 5,100 starting center. Biggish minutes if he stays out of foul trouble. Let's go. Enes Kanter, $7,000. He's going to feast against this Hawks team. Just pull down every rebound, score when he wants. He does nothing else, but he's good enough, I think, at $7,000 to be worth it. While Mitchell Robinson at 41, give him 3 blocks and he's almost there to value already. I think he's only a tournament guy, but someone that I would be interested in considering at the moment. On DraftKings, Jeremy Lin at 4,000. That's where it's at to me. Love that price for Lin. As for Len, the Lin-Len combo, 5,600 for Len. Not quite as appealing as on FanDuel, but I still like him on DraftKings at that price. The artist formerly known as Taurean Prince at 6,100. I like Ntilikina and Mitchie Robinson's at 33. That's your tournament upside guy on DraftKings. Enes Kanter, probably a little bit overpriced at 72, while the Fort Kevin Knox comes down to 4,700. A little bit more appealing on that side. Trae Young, also not quite as good on DraftKings. He comes in at 6,500, and I think you'll find better options than Trae for the majority of the day. Let's go on to the next game. We've got the New Orleans Pelicans and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 7.5. The total is the biggest of the night, 228.5. Marquise, Chris, and Nene are out at the moment. Jahlil Okafor is probable. He probably won't play anyway. Wes Johnson not going to suit up after being traded. Clint Capela and Michael Carter-Williams look like they're going to be ready to go for the Rockets. Let's look at this FanDuel wise. There is a lot of it's one of the highest spread nights there is. It is the highest of the lot, but the value in this game, I don't think it's massive. Now, you want to throw a lot of these guys and stack them in tournaments, but for cash games, I think the pricing takes a little bit away from it. For the point guards, Chris Paul's at 9,100. We do have our concerns about Paul getting to that level. The high pace is interesting, but 9,100's pretty expensive. Again, tournament stack works well. Lord Alfred Payton, 6,700. That's a very, very high price for a guy who can be shitful. Not interested. Carter Williams, also not interested. Shooting guard, Jim Harden, 11,700. A better expensive option than, say, Yanni, who comes in at 12,000. But it's still pretty up there in terms of price for Harden. But again, love the stack. And Drew Holiday, 8,300. I do worry a little bit about Drew, how this is going to go defensively for him. Will he be able to get those same sort of numbers he was putting up against Portland? I have my concerns. Eric Gordon at 5,700. That's a price that you would pay for Eric Gordon when Chris Paul or James Harden are out. They aren't, so I'm not that interested in Eric at that sort of a salary. For the small forward, Jim Ennis, minimum salary, there you go. That's a good tournament play. Will he start? I don't know. I think he will. And there is the ability for him to score, hit threes, get steals, minimum salary. Why not? Well, Mallow's at 5,700, no value in cash. Tournament maybe, but even then, I don't even think there's a huge amount of upside in Carmelo Anthony. Well, Etuan Moore also in the no upside category. PJ Tucker was killing it in the preseason. His usage was sky high, which probably won't be the case, but 4,100, the starting power forward will get center minutes with Chris and Nenea, as will my boy Isaiah Hartenstein. But 4,100 for PJ, yeah. Maybe if I'm going to use anyone in cash, that would be an interesting one to throw in there, along with Ennis, to see how that all works out. But I think Tucker's interesting considering that preseason. Well, Nick Mirotic is going to start alongside Tone Davis. He's at 6,600. The Rockets have had some pretty decent success against power forwards last season in particular. Mirotic is a bit of a hot and cold type of guy, probably not as much as you expect, but he is a GPP type of a guy here. Well, Tone Davis, 12,400. I just find that outside of tournaments, it's too expensive on an 11-game slate. There's just too many other value guys around to spend that much. And we know how good Tone is, and it's a massive, massive total game, and that's why he's great in a stack for a tournament. I'm just not sure about it for cash. Hartenstein, minimum salary. I like him. He can do stuff, and he can do it in very few minutes. No Nene, no Chris is really super appealing as well. No Ryan Anderson, of course, in Phoenix now. Maybe. Centers, Capella, 7,800. Against Tone Davis is always a tough challenge. So I think in majority of cases at that salary, I'd fade Clint and Julius Randle coming off the bench at 7,300. I'm going to say no. That price just feels too high to be going for there for big Julio. Let's look at the FanDuel side of things. A few guys a little bit more interesting. Harden's at 11.5, way more interested in him on FanDuel than DraftKings. Tone Davis, 11.1, very much into that on FanDuel as well. While, Carmelo Anthony, 5,200, maybe some tournament appeal. You look at Eric Gordon at 51, a little bit more tournament appeal. The pricing for this game is a little fairer, I think, over on DraftKings versus what we were talking about with FanDuel before. So Harden and Davis are a little bit more interesting there. Oh, we're getting through these games, guys. The next one we're looking at, the Minnesota Jimmy Butlers versus the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 3. The total is 210.5 points. Butler, we assume, is playing. Glenn Taylor had a meeting with him, probably screwed everything up, but Butler is going to play. Rudy Gay is ready to go for San Antonio as well. Those guards are all out. Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, they're all gone, but Gay is ready to go. No other injuries to really pay attention to in this game, thankfully. We're talking FanDuel here as well. Bryn Forbes is a minimum salary player. I don't love Bryn Forbes, but a minimum salary starting point guard who won't get assists but can get hot and score is a perfect tournament sort of a guy. Then you've got Patty Mills at 45, Derek Rose at 39, and and Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
Jeff Teague at 6,800. Not adverse to using Rose at 3,900, to be honest, because if Butler is at all limited or lacking conditioning, not that Tibbs gives a shit about fitness or medical science, then Rose is going to get some minutes. We know he's going to hijack possessions and shots. So at 3,900, there's a real chance that Rose can beat through that value. At shooting guard, DeRozan's at 8,300. I look for his assist to be pretty high there, but that's a fairly high bar for DeRozan. I think there are other ways to spend that money than the 83 on DeMar, but it's not the worst option. Well, Jim Butler at 9,400. No way would I want to spend 9,400 on Jim Butler. Now you could throw the I'm pissed off, I'm the man, chip on my shoulder narrative. That just feels really, really high for a bloke that hasn't played with these guys in a competitive game, in a situation where there's tension on the court, where he could go completely hero iso ball against Greg Popovich as well. I just don't like it for Jim. That is just too expensive for my tastes. Rudy Gay, 6,300, probably the best value play in this entire game. Starting small forward, 30-ish minutes. He looks pretty solid at the moment in terms of what he's doing. I'm all about looking at Rudy Gay there. Wigo's at 68. Yeah, you'd have to convince me pretty strongly to do that. While Bertans, a minimum salary guy, don't ignore Davis Bertans completely. Power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge, 8,200. The numbers he put up last year aren't going to be the same this year. DeRozan is a bigger usage guy than Kyle Anderson is, quite clearly. So Aldridge's numbers should drop a bit. I don't mind it at 8,200. I think there's probably limited upside there. Taj Gibson, the king of limited upside, and Tone Tolliver. Pau Gasol, 5,700. I think Pau's assist numbers might be interesting. Initiating the offense a little bit through him, $5,700 for Pau. It's not giving me great confidence. And $10,900 for Carl Anthony Towns. Big man against the Spurs can be a problem. Towns, how's he going to cope playing alongside Jim Butler? I'm going to let someone else let that be someone else's issue. Well, Jakob Poeltl is at 46, 3,600, 3,900. Yeah, 46. I think it's too expensive for Poeltl over there on good old FanDuel. On DraftKings, Butler is at 6,700. Now, that is a huge difference, and I would be all about Butler at 6,700, probably in cash, definitely in tournaments, but that is a massive difference. Even DeRozan at 79, love Rudy Gay at 59, love LaMarcus Aldridge at 73. Just a much better situation for this game over on DraftKings as opposed to how it looks on FanDuel. Derrick Rose, probably a worse situation on DraftKings. Townsie, yeah, probably better, but still not looking overly fantastic there. Let's kick it on to the next one, the Utah Jazz and the Sacramento Kings. Could the Jazz double the Kings' score? It's a legitimate possibility. I think there's a bigger chance of that happening than the Kings winning. The Jazz are favored by 8.5. The total is 207 points. We know Bogdan Bogdanovic is out. Those of you playing on Yahoo seasonal leagues, he has been given injured reserve eligibility. I don't know what the hell took so long, but there we are. We're here now. Now, it looks like the Kings are going to be starting Frank Mason III at shooting guard, Budrick Hield off the bench, Nemanja Bjelica at power forward with Marvin Bagley off the bench, but Dave Yeager can do absolutely anything. The information won't come out until really late because he's so sneaky. That sneaky mentality of Yeager. Imagine how shit they'd be if he wasn't so sneaky. 5 wins, 6 wins, but he saved them so many wins by just being sneaky because that's the only thing that he's good at. Really, at this point, De'Aaron Fox, 5,200 on FanDuel. I love that. I think there's really strong floor. Now, Fox could be shit, but I think at 5,200, you really have to look pretty strongly at De'Aaron Fox. While ravishing Rick Rubio at 6,600. I like what Rubio did at the end of last season. I just think that's probably a little bit too high for him. Kevin Ferrell, Dante Exum, maybe Ferrell on almost minimum 3,700 has something. Shooting guards, Frankie Mason, 4,400. Starting shooting guard, pretty decent preseason. I'd throw it into a tournament. That is about it. While Budrick Hield's at 55. And the Donnie Mitchell at $8,000. I worry about the blowout potential in this game that could limit Mitchell's value. As for Hield at 55, and I think they're both really tournament guys, but I'm not super into either of them here. Alec Burks has been playing well. He's a 3,900 tournament flyer type of a player. Jay Crowder, 4,300. No. Nemanja Bjelica, 44. Yeah, I'm interested in that. Potential starting power forward, 4,400. Can do a few things. I think there's some value in using Bjelica there. Well, Jingling Joe's at 5,500. Love Joe Ingles. Not sure I'm ready to go 5,500 on him just at this point. Well, Justin Jackson, likely the starting small forward for the Kings, is not good. At power forward, Marvin Bagley at 4,800. Yeah, no worries about that in a tournament. I think there's something there. Harry Giles at 3,900. Yeah, I just think that the minutes aren't probably going to be high enough for Gilesy at this point. And Derek Favors at 59, low upside. Willie Cauley-Stein, 6,900, no way. Against Rudy Gobert, no way. I'm not interested. As for Gobert at 8,200, not in this real blowout type scenario. Maybe in a tournament, but I'm not really feeling it for him with that pricing on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it's all about Fox and Mason to me. $3,700 for Frank, $5,700 for Diaz over there. I think Budrick at $5,300 is interesting. The Don at $7,900 has some value, a little bit of a boost with the DraftKings scoring system for him. Marvin Bagley looks okay, not as appealing as what he does on FanDuel, and most of the other stuff sticks pretty much the same. Two games to knock through here, guys. Let's go to the next one, which is the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. The Nuggets are favored by just the 1 point. The total is 226, the second largest total of the day. So some value to be had here in a lot of cases. On FanDuel, maybe not so much because of the pricing. The blue arrow, Jamal Murray, is at 6,600. His lack of assists do hurt him. He can score. Pretty good matchup at Patrick Beverley, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's a bit of a worry. I like the high tempo. Again, more of a stackable game than a real cash situation. Patty Beverley is at 5,600. Not really. While Shai at 39, great tournament type of an option, given how well he's playing. And if he gets you four steals, that's 12 points right away. 12 points, 12 real points, that's 24 points. A 12-point four-steal performance from Shai in 20 minutes doesn't sound stupid, and he's already beaten value. So I think he's worthy of a look there. Monty Morris, love Monty, but no. Shooting guards, Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
He's at 6,500. I think I'll pass. Lou Williams at 6,900. Avery Bradley at 49. Not interested. Small forward, the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, 6,400. All about the Rooster here. Love what he's done in the preseason. I think it's more tournament than cash, but I still like Gallinari. While Farton Will Barton comes in at 6,900. You know I'm down on Barton. He can have those big games, and that would make him a tournament guy. Cash is always a worry with using the flatulent one. At power forward, the table, Montrezl Harrell, 3,800. Love this for him. If he gets more minutes than the Polish Hammer, Marcin Gortat, then he smashes it. Give him 20 minutes, he beats it anyway. I love him at 3,800. Toby Harris at 7,600. I think he's going to be a fringe all-star player this season. I think there's pretty strong cash value at 76. While Trey Lyles has been killing it in preseason, I just do worry about how the minutes are going to go with Lilesy. And at 4,700, I'm not interested in finding out. Fading Paul Millsap too. At center, Nikola Jokic.
Pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
Jokic is at 9,900, one of the better, higher price type of players. A high up-tempo game. We know what Jokic can do. I'm not sure that Gortat's going to be able to do a huge amount to stop him. He should be the focal point of this team in every aspect. And then Gortat on the other end, 5,100, fade that. The interesting one here, remember last year, Boban Marjanovic came in and destroyed Jokic in the second half? I'm not big on the free Boban bandwagon, but I think he is an actual GPP option here, because if Doc goes back to that, and if Boban continues to befuddle Jokic and the pick and roll like he did last year, he can put up 25, 26 points in 15 minutes. Yeah, fantasy points. That's GPP worthy for Boban. And normally I'd say, don't worry. This is a matchup where I would actually consider using Boban Marjanovic. On DraftKings, the Rooster, Patrick Beverley, some tournament options. Same with the table, Montrezl Harrell and Jokic. Again, 9,900 I like for cash. I like Toby Harris at 7,000 as well. The same story with Shai and with Boban over on DraftKings. Let's drive this bastard home. Let's go to the last game of the night, the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are favored by 1.5 points. The total is 215 points. And your Phoenix Suns starting point guard is Isaiah Cannon. Just start Devin Booker. This Isaiah Cannon bullshit, putting Jamal Crawford in, you're going to have really limited minutes from Josh Jackson. I don't think Josh Jackson's that good, but I bloody definitely want to see more of him than Isaiah Cannon. It's going to really impact McCall Bridges. It's going to really impact TJ Warren. What are we doing with Isaiah Cannon? It is a great story. Terrible injury last season, horrific broken leg. Amazing, he made it back, he made the roster. But they just cut Davon Reed, the 32nd overall pick last year, who missed nearly all of the season with a knee injury. They waived him so they could keep Cannon and sign Jamal Crawford. Just nonsensical forward thinking. I thought Reed showed a few signs, but at least give him one season, give him a full season. I've seen what Cannon can do. I know what Cannon can do. He can get hot occasionally. He is no one's solution at point guard. No offense to him. Just confusing, confusing decision-making from this franchise pretty much every day. And Kokoschkov, he's got a blank slate as a coach. I want to like him, But man, if you're going to limit Josh Jackson and McCall Bridges and TJ Warren to get Jamal Crawford and Isaiah Cannon in there, then I really, really worry. Is this just tanking from game one? It's a real concern to me with how they're doing it. For the Mavericks, the pencil Harrison Barnes, Dirk Nowitzki, both of these guys are out. Devin Booker is in. Great news that he made it back for opening night. Let's talk point guards. Dennis Smith Jr., 6,600. I like it. Shit opponents. Isaiah Cannon, will he be able to roast him? Will he be able to roast Jamal Crawford? Will he be able to roast Devin Booker? Yes, yes, and yes. And I've liked what I've seen from Smith. All about using him here. Berea at 4,300. Yeah, probably not. While Cannon at 4,000. Whatever. Throw him into a tournament. That's it. But I have very little hope in him. Devin Harris, no hope at all. Shooting guard, Luka Doncic, 6,700. Let's go. I'm in. Cash tournaments. Love Luka. Let's go. A great way to introduce himself to the NBA against his national team head coach, against the worst team in the NBA from last season, against the team that should have picked him number one. 6,700 is not expensive. Let's go, Luka. Wes Matthews, no. Booker at 8,200. Actually, not too bad with Booker there. I think that's a pretty decent price. You worry a little bit about conditioning and if he's going to be efficient after having not played for so long, but I think he's all right to use there. Small forwards, Ariza at 5,500. I think that's so low upside. Just not interested in him at that sort of a price. Dorian Finney-Smith is going to get playing time. DFS for DFS. Is it going to happen? 4,800? Probably not. Well, TJ Warren at 7,100. That is the biggest stay away I have seen, given the way this team is going to line up. Dwight Powell, 3,900. I think Powell's got an ability here. He rolls hard. He can be efficient. He can get some steals. 3,900, no Dirk. A real opportunity for Dwighto. At 3,900, I like him for tournaments quite a bit. Ryan Anderson at 3,800. Well, I think it's hard to ignore him for a tournament at that price. For cash, I want nothing to do with him. And then you've got Maxi Kleber. And someone tell me why Josh Jackson's a power forward. Who's doing these positions? Larry Nance is a small forward and Josh Jackson's a power forward. No, thank you. Joshy's at 5,900. Given this Isaiah Cannon starting likelihood, I'm going to say that's a no from me. Well, Dragan Bender, will he actually play? Good question. At center, DeAndre Ayton, 7,200. Give me Doncic over Ayton. Just the price difference is too big there. But I think Ayton's in with a pretty good opportunity. DeAndre Jordan, not quite as good defensively as he has been. Still a decent matchup for him. It's not quite the New Zealand Breakers. As for Jordan, at 7,500, I don't mind using DeAndre. Probably not a big tournament upside guy, but a relatively solid cash play. On DraftKings, it's Doncic again. It's Booker. I love Booker on DraftKings, 7,400. And Ayton at 6,900, or some would say 6,900.
Giggity!
Is definitely an option there. Not much else really changing too much with the old DK. Let's look now at my studs and value plays across the sites. On DraftKings, my best stud is the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, 8,100. My best value play is Chetty Osman at 4,200. You're going to hear that name a few times. On FanDuel, the best stud, Victor Oladipo, 8,800. And the best value play, Frankie Ntilikina at 38. On Yahoo, my best stud is Chrissy Paul at 3,600. That's a very low price for Paul. Didn't like him on FanDuel, like him on Yahoo. My best value is, again, Chetty Osman, minimum salary over on Yahoo. For Moneyball, Oladipo is my best start at 8,000. That's a very, very good price, whereas a lot of other guys are overpriced there. And then for value, again, minimum salary, Chetty Osman. And on DraftStars, my best start is the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, 16,100. And the best value play, Trevor Ariza. I just said I didn't like Trevor Ariza. Why is he a minimum salary player on DraftStars? Someone screwed up, but take advantage of it. You can go and get him for $5,000, and that should be the first bloke that you click into your lineups over on DraftStars. And to wrap up the day, let's go with my best bet of the day. 0-1 on the season with the Sixers plus 4.5 yesterday. I'm going with the Mavericks plus 1.5. They're taking on the Suns. Yes, there's no Harrison Barnes, but I think they're going to be able to, even if they don't beat the Suns, at least get it to a point. But it's close to enough to a pick 'em. I think the Mavericks are going to win this one. That Carlisle's going to outcoach them, even without Harrison Barnes. And not having Dirk there might actually tidy up their defense a little bit more. So Dallas plus 1.5. is the one I'm looking for. The NBA is back. The regular daily show is back. Subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Smash like, smash the thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, leave me a 5-star review. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble, Instagram at @LockedOnFantasyBasketball. Visit our sponsor, BlueChew.com, and use the promo code LockedOn. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kevin Garnett.